Episode 208 of the Family Podcast Network. God, you're so negative.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those kids that aren't. The date today is April the 3rd, 2013. Our topic for today is, maybe you can't see the good because you're stuck seeing the bad. I mean, boom, baby. I mean, that title in and of itself right there is enough to be something you can go home and chew on right now. That's right. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about how a lot of times I get parents that come to me and they say, Trey, my kid, I mean, I don't think you understand. I get that more than anything. You don't understand what's going on with my kid. They do this and they do that. And they have this going on. They've got that issue going on. You know what my answer is? Every single time. It hasn't mattered. Well, I mean, over the last 6 years of doing this face-to-face with people, or whether it's been at Family Podcast Network once I started this show, this website, the answer's always been this. Oh, okay. And one of the issues that so many parents run into is that their kids really aren't any different from any other kid. But the reality is this. We have gotten so attenuated. We've become so vigilant at noticing everything that they're doing wrong, we forget to see what they're doing right. And I mean, let's be honest, how bad does that suck? Have we ever had that happen to us? The boss that only calls you into your office when? When you're screwing up. We're going to talk about how we do that to our kids very quickly, very frequently, and it's one of our worst enemies. More on that here in a little bit, guys. Before we get into that, as always, let's jump into our housekeeping for today. If you want to get notified of new episodes, make sure that you never miss out on that one episode. You can do that by going to thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. Over on the right-hand side, you will see where you can enter your name and your email address in. When you put that in, you will get an email. Every morning that I put out a new show, little simple email. It's not going to overwhelm you. It's not loaded up with ads or any of that kind of crap. It just says, hey, new episode is out. This is what we talked about. Go check us out. It's very simple. It's not page laden with stuff I'm trying to sell to you. It doesn't have pictures all in it. It's just got our logo and what we talked about for that day. I do that for this reason. I want to make sure that if you need one episode, maybe you wake up that morning and you don't even realize, but it's that one episode you were going to need. I wanted to make sure that you had the quickest access that you can get to that. It is completely free, guys. We don't spam your address. We don't send it or mail it out to it. It is solely for my records to make sure that those people that are like, man, I want to be on the cutting edge of this when it comes out to try to save myself the next week or week and a half of hell. I want you guys to be able to get that, and you'll know exactly what to talk about. If you're like me, I wake up in the morning. First thing I do is I grab my cell phone. I check to see what emails I've got, and I would know at that point, ah, crap, look at this. I got to hear about this. This is something important, and I'm going to be listening to it on the way to work that morning. So, guys, do that completely free. We won't spam your address. Trey Gibson, thefamilypodcastnetwork.com, over on the right-hand side, name and email address. Don't miss out on that one episode. All right, guys, also don't forget to like us over on Facebook, share this episode, all that other good stuff. We survive a lot of what's called viral traffic. And what that means is that you take it and you spread it and you share it to somebody else, and somebody else shares it to somebody else, and somebody else shares it to somebody else. So you can do that on Facebook, but, guys, I want to be straight with you. You can do that in other places other than Facebook for us. You can also do that through things like, telling people about it. I mean, going to other people. I mean, you guys are a certain set of like-minded individuals. Y'all think like me. Y'all act like me. Y'all believe like me. Y'all make the same mistakes typically as I do. And so we kind of have a bond that we share with each other because we've got similarities. My guess is this. You know and are aware of other people that think like you, that are like you, other Facebook sites that you're aware of that you spend time on. Share this out here, there, guys. I'm not trying to do this to be a turd, but I want other people to connect with the show. I want other people to come in. I mean, I selected the name Family Podcast Network. And not to sound like a clever, cute little, you know, artsy-fartsy thing, I selected that because I want us to network together. I want us to connect with people. I want us to form relationships. Because it's inside of these relationships where you're going to start to see the real magic happen. I can connect with you guys, but I can't connect with everybody. And not only that, the folks that are P-tackers, which we'll talk about here in just a minute, P-tackers even kind of get the first dibsies on me. And maybe you can't afford that. So one of the best things you can do is connect with other people, guys. Network out yourself. So share this out with the places that you know there's other people that think like us. Draw them in. Let's get them a part of the show. That's what we want to do. Guys, also, speaking of P-tacker, if you guys want to support the show at 30 cents per episode, let's just say that you're like, man, Trey, I feel like I'm getting three dimes worth of every episode. I feel like the information that I glean, the accountability that I gain, maybe even some of the email stuff that I get back from you, that is worth three dimes of an episode for me, and I want to help support and see the show grow bigger and help other people be able to connect with like-minded individuals. You can do that by becoming a P-tacker. Once again, that's Parents for Ethical Treatment of Adolescents and Kids, just kind of a funny twist on the word PETA, or the acronym PETA, PETA. And you can help us reach out and touch other families, bring them in, and get them bunkered into this network to where we support each other and we take care of each other, guys. So you can do that, 30 cents per episode. Click on the P-Tacker navigation bar at the very top of the website. Jump on over there. We've made it real easy that if you have a credit card, you can pay through PayPal with a credit card, either one, and support the show. You can do it as simple as $5 a month. Sounds small. Let me tell you guys, there's bills that that'll pay. All right. Next off, guys, questions, comments, topics, encouragement that you want to leave us. We want it. Several different ways that you can touch base with us. I've made a bunch of different ways that you could do that. Guys, you can always email me at treygibson@thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. You can always send us an internet voicemail. As long as you have a microphone to connect to your computer, you can always record the voicemail directly onto your computer, Dora, and it will submit it to me. I'm about to have to make some changes here with that. That's called SpeakPipe, that thing that allows you to leave the internet voicemail. I've been a beta tester on them for about the last year now, and they are requiring that we have to bump up to their bronze package. Again, the bronze package is just basically the one that's, I think, like $40 a month, and it allows me to do like up to 100 messages, I think, per month or something like that at 3 minutes. Right now, we're not supported in a way that we can do that. So I'm going to leave it at the free account. The problem with the free account is it's only 30 stinking seconds. And so our options are, I mean, I could do the 30-second, but, you know, the free account if we want to. You may have to call in and record two sessions or something like that. But anyway, be thinking, too, if you want to support the show, that might be something that we can add on to the website, is that full-time thing now for the SpeakPipe. And but I'm going to leave that up to you guys. It's no skin off my nose if we do the 30-second per episode. And anyway, just be thinking about that. Let's see. Also, guys, you can always contact us at phone 661-PARENT-0. Again, that is the number 661-PARENT and the number 0. You can contact us if you're out in the middle of nowhere, if you're driving your kids from, you know, back from school or something like that. You're like, oh, man, I want to ask Trey about that. I don't want to get an episode about that on. You can always call us in 661-PARENT-0. Leave your message. We'll see about getting you on the show. Guys, you can always hit the contact us buttons at the top of thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. And you can click to select blah, 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 blah. Click to select things like suggest some feedback, or you can always leave a topic for us to follow up and give you guys a new show that we can put out on that. And then, guys, you can always contact us on Facebook. We've had a lot of great discussions over at Facebook the last few days. I'm telling you guys, I'm not trying to build up this Facebook stuff. Facebook has just kind of gotten fun. You know, we've had some good conversations and some good messages over there. So go check us out on Facebook. Come join the fun. It's not all heavy duty, hardcore stuff. Sometimes we just get fun about fun stuff and laugh about it, like farting and stuff like that. Oh, yes, we've talked about that there. Okie dokie, yes. I believe we have all the housekeeping out of the way today. So let's jump into our topic of you can't see the good because you're stuck seeing the bad. See, this is another one of those core philosophy things. I really felt like it was time to kind of moving back to some of the core philosophies here, because a lot of you guys are new listeners, and some of you guys have been listeners for a few months, and some of you guys have been listeners for over a year now. So some of the stuff, I really want to go back over some of the core philosophy, what we're talking about here at this show, and kind of move back into what's some of the nitty-gritty? What are some of the fundamental belief systems that we have that influence all these other episodes we talk about? And this is kind of one of them right here. This mentality of how do we move away from seeing our kids in a negative light when it seems like all they do is act like little butt-tards. I mean, I'm sorry, but sometimes just kids are little turds. And how do we change that mentality? How do we move it around? Because the reality is our kids can't grow much if we see them as nothing but the negative. That deficit-minded, if we can't see them for what they have and what they are and what they are capable of, if we can't not look ahead to when they're not 4 years old or terrible 2 years old, if we can't look ahead to see what they are going to become, if we cannot stay positive in those things, our kids are going to stand a very difficult chance, at least. I want to say they don't stand a chance, but that's not true. but they're going to stand a very difficult chance to make it successfully. And the reason for that is that we need that. It's necessity to human nature to receive positive feedback when we're getting it right. And yet, as a nation, as a society, we suck at it. We're really, really bad about staying positive and reinforcing. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today, about how we stay so stinking negative with our kids and how destructive it is, and a little bit on how do we stay more positive with them. And not even just that, how do we take those things that we see as negative and how do we flip them around and begin to see them positive? Have you ever had somebody in your life, many of you guys will recognize this from your parents in some cases, moms and dads, or maybe somebody who took care of you growing up, or maybe a boss that you'll recognize with this. But you ever had that person that no matter how hard you tried, no matter how many things you did, no matter how much effort you put into that relationship, they always saw you as a loser, as a jerk, as whatever. I mean, you ever had that person who just, no matter how hard you did things, they always saw you as a disappointment, as a failure? I mean, let's be straight here. How badly does that suck? I mean, that is a horrible, horrible place to be. How about that person who only notices you when you screw up? Remember, I used to work a job called the Toro Team. When I was doing my undergrad, and the Toro Team was Toro is a kind of mower out there that's pretty big into commercial mowers and whatnot, and they make some just standard using, you know, standard user type stuff, but it was designed for commercial and people that did it for a full time living. And I worked for a place called the Toro Team, and we were basically a place that took care of the university that I went to school at. We were the people that took care of the grounds and maintenance, and so we did a lot of mowing, and at one time we had strictly all Toro mowers. And they're great mowers, and they're like little tanks. They're little tanks with blades on them. But anyway, we had a ton of them, so we're called the Toro Team. Kind of stuck and stayed even after we didn't have very many Toros. But I remember that it was one of those jobs that you worked hard, and man, you just spent so much time making the campus look beautiful, immaculate, well trimmed, well cut, you know, swept and just attractive, trash picked up, you know, and just, you know, I took a pride in it. But it was one of those jobs you never got a phone call until what? Until you screwed something up. Until somebody forgot to blow the grass off quick enough, and so they tracked grass inside the building. Or one side of it got grown up a little heavy because we were working extra hard on the other side to install some irrigation. It was always one of those jobs that people wouldn't notice the fact that the front lawn was never too long, you know, long, because we spent so much time keeping it clean because it was the face of the campus. But by God, they noticed if one of the trash bins got knocked over next to the dining hall and spilled trash out and we hadn't gotten there yet, right? We only got a phone call, it seemed, whenever we screwed up. And sometimes that can be demoralizing. Sometimes that can be very destructive because it feels like the only way that you can get attention is to screw up. I'm not saying that's the approach or the mentality that we took at the Toro Team by any stretch of the imagination. However, my point is that kids do this frequently. I've got parents that look at me and say, I don't understand why there's so much like this. I don't get why they're doing this. And sometimes the answer lies in you're teaching them to. Not meaningfully, not intentionally, but sometimes subconsciously we're teaching our kids to do nothing but vie after crap attention. How are we doing that? The only time they get noticed is whenever they're jacking it up. They're doing what they're doing. We don't need to focus on them because they're doing what they need to be doing. But if they mess up, now they need me to address them. And I'm telling you guys, it is one of the worst mentalities that we have gotten into as a nation. The mentality that kids need us to ride them harder. This mentality out there that our kids need us to whoop them harder and that'll get their attention. Sure, it gets their attention. Sure, it even gets a little bit of compliance. But it doesn't produce the desire to follow someone into doing right. It's about forcing them into doing right through fear. My wife shared an incredible meme on Family Podcast Network the other day, the Facebook site, and it was great. You know what? Let me go pull that up because I want to read that to you. It was that good. Hold on. It reads, this is from Teacher Tom. Said, I've had people shrug at my moral stance and insist that spanking works, and I'm sure it does. There are lots of things that work that I will never try. If I disagree with you, shouting you down works, but wouldn't it be better if I engaged you in reasonable debate? If I need money, stealing works, but wouldn't it be better if I worked to earn a higher income? If you're standing in my way, pushing you out of the way works, but wouldn't it be better if I politely asked you to allow me to pass? Indeed, spanking may work, but there are better ways. They just take more effort. And you see, that's kind of the nature, the mentality of what we're going to talk about today. Because taking the negative Nancy approach, taking the can't see the good because we're stuck in seeing the right, or the wrong, excuse me. Taking that approach is just flat out easier. But having to reteach yourself to see things in that positive light, it's difficult. It's difficult for me, guys. I've been doing this for about a year. We've probably been actively applying this. Some folks call it the non-aggressive principle. Some people call it attachment parenting, whatever you want to call it. We've probably been approaching this for about the last 2 years now. And I'm still learning. I mean, I am still learning and still failing in some cases, in many cases. But we're getting closer. We're getting closer. But let me tell you this. I'm not going to lie to you guys. Unequivocally and unabashedly, I will say it is the harder approach. Because you have to be more creative. You have to be more witty. Flat out, you have to freaking think. You can't do what you've been defaulted to do, because in most cases, everything you've been taught to do at default is producing that exact opposite result than what we want. And getting out of this mindset of deficit thinking, of deficit mindedness, of this negative Nancy approach takes a lot of effort. But let me tell you, the older that my children are getting, and the decisions that I see my six-year-old making to choose the right thing, even when she doesn't realize that I'm watching her, it begins to pay off. She doesn't do it because she's afraid of what daddy's going to do. She doesn't do it because she's afraid of how daddy's going to feel if she did. You see the difference there. One of them is steeped in fear. The other one is steeped in respect and kindness. Now that's what I'm talking about. So today is a very different topic. I'm going to be honest with you guys. And the reason why it's very off topic, it's very different, it's kind of difficult to do in its own way, is that you cannot fake this one. If your mentality, if your heart is not in the right place with this, it does not work. If you're doing this because Trey said this is a good idea to do, to be positive because Trey said it was a good thing to do, this stuff, it's useless. Kids have built-in, inherent crap dar. It reads through our crap. They can tell when we're feeding them a load of BS. They know. It has to be authentic. So that's what makes this so difficult today, is it's not just about changing your words or your actions. It's about changing the heart and the mind. Oh, thanks, Trey. Easy order there. Appreciate that. No, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. A few months ago, I was working with a youth. My youth, if you guys don't know, I also do, on the side, I do voluntary youth ministry as well, as kind of an associate minister position, a small church. And I was working with one of the youth, some of the older ladies that help around came up and were working with them, and they were asking these youth to do some things, and the youth weren't doing it. And I came over and I asked them, I said, hey guys, could y'all, and I talked to them, and they did it. And the two older ladies came up to me, and they just said, Trey, how do you do this? I mean, how do you get them to respond to you like that? And of course, in their mindset, you know, well, you have to set firm boundaries, and you must set firm boundaries, Trey, and really firm and rigid rules. Well, the answer to that isn't necessarily no, but no, that's not the most important part. It's like trying to say, oh, well, if you want to go on a drive, you have to close the door to your car. Well, okay, does it go better for you if you do? Sure, it does, but it's not the primary part. There's a lot more important pieces to it, like sticking the key in the ignition, starting it, making sure there's fuel in the tank, right? But these kids, despite this drop the hammer, it's time for action, despite this mentality, these kids are very responsive to me. They're compliant to me, even when I tell them no, that they can't do things. Why? Why is that? And these ladies were so perplexed, and they just looked at me as though I was like a parental demigod. And I'm just like, guys, I screw this stuff up too. But you want to know what the answer is? I like every one of these kids. Now, I want to be clear here. I am not talking about loving them. Loving someone to me is to the most part the easiest part of it. To me, and that's some of this, you're like, oh no, Trey, no. By the definition that I use, yes, loving them is easier, because in my definition, love is the choice part of it. Love is whenever someone, when your spouse is being a turd and they've come home and they've been a butt, or they didn't do what you want, or they forgot your birthday, that you choose to still be kind to them. You see, that's love. That's choosing a set of actions, even amidst things not being relationally perfect. To me, that is love. And I know we live in a society that pushes that love is the warm, ooey-gooey feelings and the, oh, laws. Guys, I have no problems with that. I think that has a place. I think even we were designed or biologically we connect, however you want to look at that. We need those things. I think it's powerful and valuable. Misconstrued sometimes and used inappropriately. Yes, I get that. But I think it's valuable. But see, I don't think that's love. I think that's infatuation. See, we've cast kind of a negative light on infatuation. And largely, I think there's some truth to that because we've confused infatuation with love. But that's not what I'm talking about. That's just that nitty-gritty, that decisions that we make based out of conviction. And I'm not talking about this necessarily on a religious spectrum, even though it does work that very well, and it does for me as well. But I'm talking about conviction, knowing something is right or wrong. It's not an issue of whether, well, maybe we could or maybe we couldn't. It's something that's fundamentally right on a moral level, a right and wrong issue that we choose to do the right thing on. We follow conviction. So when I say my secret to working with these kids is that I like every one of them. I'm not talking about this love stuff. I'm talking about I learned to take even the hardest of kids, the kids who surely have a diagnosis of ADHD, the kids who surely have a diagnosis of major depressive episodes or bipolar. I take these kids that people reject. I take these kids that are some of the worst, the punks, the thugs, some of the kids that if it wasn't for me being in the youth minister position that I am, they would have kicked them out of the group. I take them and I figure out how to like them. You see what I just did there? I take their deepest, roughest personality traits and I find positive in it. To the kid who's ADHD and he's bouncing off the wall and he's going everywhere and he's just having a nutsoid time and he's just what some would say, spazzing out. I see a high-energy kid who's going to grow up and have more energy than most of the adults around him, and he's going to go 10 times further than anybody else ever will because he's got the energy. I see the kid who, whenever he's bouncing around, all I've got to do is put him in responsibility of my son, Grant, who's very high-energy as well, and I let them go, and I say, hey, would you mind watching him? And he will sit there, and he will play with my son for hours on end, running around with him, stuff that I just don't have the energy to do. You see, I find ways to like kids. You see, the kid that's the punk who resists and pushed against authority and bows up to you if you tell him to do or not to do something. I see the kid who doesn't back down to an adult. Now, some of you guys are like, why would that be a good thing? You know what? I see a lot of people that are letting other people run them over and run their life. I don't know what you believe politically, but I see that happening. People making decisions for other people that violate the very essence of civil liberties, and they let them run right over them. You want to have a really good little experience in researching on this stuff and this kind of mentality. Go research how Germans during Nazi Germany behaved. They knew it was wrong, but they went ahead anyway. Why? You know, when I see a kid resisting authority like that, I see a kid who very potentially, with given the right nudges and understanding about principle and what's right and wrong, moral understanding, I see a person who will never back down to tyranny. You see, that's how I can see a kid. And don't get me wrong, guys. I don't want you to be like, oh, he just has this wonderful ability. Bullcrap. I had to learn how to do this. I had to force myself, and in some case, through gritted teeth, to find these things in these kids. But I'll tell you this, is the more and more I've done it, it's become easier, and it has become easier. So you see, I've found ways to like everybody that I bump into. Sure. Are some of these kids, or some of the kids in our lives, I mean, they're not any more perfect than I am. We all have flaws. We all have issues. We all have communications problems and hurts and bad habits that we have and the things that we do. But you know what? Even these kids that are hard and difficult and tough, I still like them. Some of them will start to grate on me, guys. I don't want you to hear me say that like I have some kind of impervious armor to these kids. Yes, sometimes they drive me freaking nuts. I get it, guys. But I have found a way to like them anyway. You see, I'm very fluent in a style of therapy. For those of you guys who maybe are just joining the show, Once upon a time in another life, I used to be a therapist. And there was something that they trained us in that was called strengths-based solution-focused therapy. And the strengths-based mentality is that you take the things that are bad in somebody, those things that we quote-unquote, they're not bad, but those things you quote-unquote are bad, and you find ways to make them positive. And I'm telling you guys, it is effective and it is powerful. It instead takes the very things that people reject as a society and say, that's ADHD and that's oppositional defiant disorder. It takes those very things that kids often get rejected for and told that they are wrong for and told that they need to be medicated for. And it says, no, I reject this as being a bad thing. Let's figure out a way to use it. Guys, I'm not saying that there's not a problem or an issue with people that have high energy and attention deficit issues. I'm not saying that's not out there. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with medicating for things. That's not my approach here. But what I am trying to say is this. We are taking the very things that people are given, I believe, as a gift to their personality, telling them that it is wrong, and doing everything that we can to mold them into what we believe is right. And I reject that on every flipping level imaginable. I reject that on just a natural level of humanity. I reject that on a level of liberty. It is not our jobs to force our kids into compliance, to be, to do, and to act the way we say they should. It is our job to help our kids find the way that they learn the fast, the best, the easiest, and the most efficient. How do I do that? I find the good in every single thing that they bring to the table for me, and I teach them how to use that. You see the dichotomy here, the differences that we're talking about. They're subtle, but they are powerful. And let me tell you this. I'm going to be very definitive here. When people, and namely kids in this case, when kids feel liked by you, and I'm talking both for the good and the bad things, quote-unquote bad things, the things that we've been told is bad in them, kids want to be compliant. When a kid knows that you love them and that you care about them unconditionally and that you even like them, they want to obey you. I have had parents sit down with me and say, you'll never get him to talk. And they give me 5 minutes with that kid and they are chatty Cathy. Oh my God, how did you get him to talk so much? I could hear him talking through the door. You know what it comes down to? It's a fundamental issue like this. I treat him just like I treat adults. I'm not saying I expect him to make adult, decisions. I'm not saying they're ready to be adults or they're ready to go drive a car. But I treat him with the exact same level of respect, caring, and kindness. I do the exact same type of things that I would do to you if you walked into my recording studio right now and I shook hands with you. I would treat your 2-year-old child the exact same way. I may talk to him different. I'm not going to use the same vernacular, stuff that they're not ready for. But I will treat them with the exact same level of respect and positivity that I would if it was you. Now, I want to issue a disclaimer here, because a lot of the naysayers, here's where they go with it. I want to make sure I'm very clear. I am not talking about rose-colored goggles. I'm not talking about putting something on and that you ignore negative behavior. I'm not talking about putting something on and pretending it doesn't happen. You see, that's one of the number one fights that I see against like non-aggressive parenting and attachment parenting, and especially typically those that believe in just beating the crap out of their child to get what they want from them. But that's one of the first things that they'll say, well, you're just ignoring the behavior. You're not really addressing anything. And to a certain degree, I want to be clear here, they're kind of right. Because their mentality is, this kid has done screwed up, now you need to step in, you need to whoop it out of him, right? And so there needs to be an immediate reaction afterwards. And they're right. There typically is some level of absence of that in some way. But the reason because we do... Man, I'm jacking this up in a grammatical way today. The reason why that we do that is because the emphasis is not on after-duty cleanup. The idea is on preventative. It's not about maintenance after it's... Excuse me, it's not about fixing things after it's done. It's about preventing them from happening. Preventative. And see, to people that believe that the only way to correct issues or behaviors is to deal with it after it's happened, which is asinine, I mean, why would you build a car that you know has a mechanical problem that's going to happen soon and then throw in spare parts for that person when you know it's going to happen. If you have the opportunity to spend maybe even a little extra time to fix a problem on the design level at the start so that way this isn't an issue later. Why would we do that? We wouldn't is the answer. We would look at that and say, that's crazy. Fix a problem before you send it out rather than just try to be prepared for a problem in the middle of when it's happening. That is an illogical mindset. And we all know that, and yet Spanking adopts that very principle and promise. We're going to focus on this mentality post facto, after the fact. Let's deal with it after it's happened, rather than preventative. So we're not talking about ignoring behaviors. We're not talking about letting things slide. We're not talking about acting like these issues don't exist, that our kids don't act this way. But what are we talking about? We're talking about the key to seeing these other behaviors become extinct. Doesn't lie in whooping it out of them, about punishing it out of them. It lies in us learning to see the good in our kids in all respects. We'll address those negative things. We'll teach them what's the right things to do when they're doing those things. But we're going to make sure that our kids are getting a billion times more attention and notice and respect when they're getting it right than when they're getting it wrong. So the key in all of this is learning to see the good in our kids, even when that is really, really hard. I get that. It's very difficult sometimes. But we've got to see the good in our kids. There's two ways that I recommend doing that. Number one, focus on the good that they're already doing. We talk about that a lot here at the Family Podcast Network. Every time you see your kid doing something good, notice it. Every time that you notice that they're in the rooms playing with each other and they're not fighting, notice it. Every time that you get in the car and one of them helps the other one, notice it. Notice those little things that we take for granted. When they put their bowl in the sink without being asked, notice it. Just even tonight, I was talking with my wife. We had a little bit of a thunderstorm come through tonight. And while we were in the middle of doing this, it was pretty fascinating because the light went out and it woke up our littlest baby. And she started crying and crying and crying and crying and crying. And we went in there to soothe her, but she was awake. So she started crying. And the kids were sitting in there and they were all awake because of the lightning storm. And I found it so interesting that baby sat in there crying so long, and they never once came in there and said, "Oh, Dad, she's crying. We can't sleep." We all sleep in the same room now. And I was so fascinated by that. And I told my wife, I said, "You know, we need to make sure we compliment our kids tomorrow on the fact that they're sitting in there so patient and so awake and so listening to that child cry." It's those little things that we take for granted. So focus on the good, even the little obscure, smallest goods that they do. That you just think to yourself, they should be doing that. Yes, they probably should be, to become productive, healthy citizens. But that doesn't mean that they don't need to know about it, that we see that. Number two, remember again, the key is seeing everybody in a good respect, right? Number two, find ways to put positive spins on seemingly negative stuff. They did an article a few years ago that was really interesting to me. They took two different folks. They took one of what was defined as an aggressive woman, a woman CEO, and they asked people to list everything that they thought was her personality traits. And so they named things like pushy, demanding, bossy, choosy, stubborn, manipulative was one of them they chose. And then they put a man and they said, would you name the, and I'm sorry guys, I'm not trying to turn this into a gender issue. I think it's crap for you ladies, first off. But they said, what do y'all think about this guy? And they said, oh, well, he's aggressive and he sets expectations. He gives orders well. He knows what he wants. He sticks to his guns. He's very coercive, able to get people to do what he wants. And I said, now, wait a minute. Let's compare these two. You said, this lady here, this CEO lady, you said she's pushy. But for the CEO, you said that he was aggressive. What's the difference? Couldn't answer it. Okay, next one for the aggressive woman. You said that she was demanding. You said the CEO sets expectations. What's the difference? They couldn't answer it. Okay, well, what about you said she was bossy, but you said he gives orders well. And wait a minute. What's the difference? They couldn't answer. Said she's choosy, but he knows what he wants. That she was stubborn, he sticks to his guns. What are the differences between these things? She's manipulative and he's coercive. What the heck is the difference? You see, they couldn't answer me. See, in one of them, they took those very things that they said, oh, well, she's just a this and she's a that and she's a, you know, a biznat because she does these and these things and these are her personalities. But when you flipped them around and looked at them differently, they were positive. You see, it's not as hard as we make it out to be. But what happens is when we get in those negative mindsets towards people, we have a tendency to choose descriptors for them based off of how we're feeling. You see how that can be dangerous and tricky? Do you see what I did there? I made all of these seemingly negative traits very positive. And once again, guys, this does not come naturally to me. I have to work at it. I have to try again. But these are skills that just have to be honed, and they can be done and honed in you as well. But what happens if we don't take the time to do this with our kids? Guys, that is something that can be very destructive. Your kid can grow up believing that the one thing that was the way they were made, that there is something wrong with it, inherently wrong with it. You see, I've always been a talker. I like to talk. I can hold conversation for long times. I can even hold monologues with people for a really long time. It's why I was so successful as a preacher. Because I can keep talking. And I got made fun of so much in high school. I got told and teased that I was, you know, talk wolf, you know, or that I was talk a lot. I had a coach one time, really hurt my feelings, but, and he wasn't trying to be hurtful, but it did anyway. But he said, you know, wow, Trey, you're somebody who can say a whole lot and say a whole little all at the same time. Really hurt my feelings. See, what had happened was society was saying that I talked too much, that one of my things wasn't like everybody else. It's not what made a perfect student. Quiet, sits, answers questions when asked. I was ready to talk. I was ready to debate. You see how that can be a problem? I was getting discouraged for the one thing that little did I know I was going to make a business off of. Taking what I'm passionate about, parenting, and mix it with the one thing I'm talented with, which is keeping conversation going, even when there's nobody on the other end talking back. Are the things that you are upset with in your child, the things that drive you batty, are you suppressing the one thing that they may wind up going on to be extraordinarily successful at? Are you taking the one thing that is just the way they are made, and are you causing it to be extinguished because you don't know how to handle it well? Ouch. Because I'm not saying this because I'm like, oh, that's going to sting them. I mean, that stings me. That stings me with my very sensitive young man of a son. He's such a sensitive heart. And when he gets to whining and crying, I'm just like, oh, my God. My meticulous, science-driven daughter, which I love in one hand, but she gets so busy thinking that she often doesn't stop to feel. She gets so busy analyzing, she doesn't stop to experience. But are we crushing the very thing that is the piece of who they are? Remember, focus on the good in your kid. I'm not suggesting that you ignore the other things, but focus on when they're doing good. Notice them when they're doing good. Make a bigger deal every time that they're doing good. Make sure as heck that you're paying better attention to that than whenever they're screwing up. Find a way to put positive spins on those things that just drive you nuts, especially those things that are particularly difficult to get rid of in our kids. See if there's a way you can turn it around. My daughter, Anna, made knots. Oh, the flipping time. I mean, I would come home and I would take my shoes off and I'd set my combat boots or whatever else down, or I'd set my loafers down, and the next thing I know, I'd come back and they'd be wadded up in a little tight balls, a knot wide, and I'd just be
I'm not quite doing that,
you know? And then I'd come back the next day, and she'd have taken the strings on my Equex jacket or on one of my, you know, the cinches, the snow cinch for one of my thicker parkas or something like that, and she's tied them all up, and I was getting so frustrated. But I want you guys to know that as I was coming in here to sit down and record this, I saw on my desk a necklace that my daughter wove for me using knots. I have a little necklace sitting here. I don't know if you guys can hear this. That's the latch for it, for the necklace that she made me today. Very cool. You see, what happened was we realized, if we put a positive spin on this, we recognize she loves knotting stuff. What requires us to make knots? Beadwork? Hemp weaving? You see, we figured that out. And instead of hampering the thing that she was, instead of getting negative about that, we chose to see past the bad and see the good in this. To utilize it, not to go against her personality, but to utilize it. I fully expect that my daughter will have an up-and-running website within the next 2 or 3 years. I'm not saying that to wow you guys or amaze you. It is her personality, and it's her drive. I will not push her, but I will provide if she wants it. You see, we used it. Instead of being negative, we put the spin on it. Are you doing that with your kid today? Are you seeing your kid as negative? Do you see those pesky behaviors that just drive you bonkers? And you hate it? Not hate them, but you hate it? Or are you seeing things that need to be honed and fostered and trained to make them successful? I want you to really chew on that this week as we move into this next episode of the Real Family Guys podcast this Friday. How do you see your kid? And if so, do you need to change the color of the lens that you see him through? Guys, that's all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. I hope you guys have a great rest of this week. If nothing else, I hope you join Jeff and I. We have a really good show planned for this Friday. Come check us out over the Real Family Guys podcast. Come back here to thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. You'll see our shows. They go up every Friday on this site. You're in the right place. If you're already subscribed to us on iTunes, don't forget about that. You can jump over to iTunes and subscribe to us. If you want to start getting these episodes delivered onto your phone, you can also use Stitcher. Stitcher is a wonderful place. I love them. Get yourself on Stitcher, and you can listen to that show without taking up a whole bunch of your memory space. Check those out. Guys, we'll see you guys on Friday.